Hello, and welcome to our podcast, Reality Check, Application Benchmarking for QOE. I'm Kara Gattine from SearchNetworking.com, and it's great to have you with us. In this podcast, we're going to explore some critical issues of application benchmarking for quality of experience. I'm delighted to have joining us today Dennis Drogseth, Vice President of Enterprise Management Associates. Thanks for being here today, Dennis.
Thanks, Kara. It's great to be here with you.
Great. Let's get started. Let me begin by telling our listeners how this will work. I'll present a statement, and then Dennis will respond to that statement and explain if it's reality or not and tell us why. To get started, maybe the first thing to do is find out what you should really take into account when you look for QOE, or quality of experience. So, Dennis, let's begin with your definition of QOE and how it applies here.
Great, Kara. So I'm actually going to preface this by saying why it's important for folks who care about network operations and managing the network. So the first thing to say is if QOE is about application experience, whatever the application is, web-based application, non-web-based application, telephony, voice, streaming media, most of those applications, and increasingly so, are very network dependent. The role of the network in application management is becoming more and more important, redefining the heartland of network management itself. We see in last year's data over 34% of our respondents across the board on looking at issues in managing network and change said that they had more than 100 remote offices to manage. So that's just internal. It's very much network plus the rest of the world concern. And cutting to the chase, I'm going to say that the key word in QOE is experience. And experience is a human term reflective of what human beings feel. It's about cells and bloodstream and imagination and emotion and yes, performance and yes, productivity and yes, the ability to make a sale or communicate. But therefore, because it's human, technology can only approximate it. And it takes a little bit of creative imagination and good dialogue and good collaboration to make that happen. So, again, think of the person sitting at the other end of that application, whatever that is, and what they experience. I worked with once a genius, I think, in a networking company who wanted to put an end-user happiness button on the end of each terminal in remote environments to see, at the end of the day, were they happy with their IT experience. So it's a very open-ended discussion.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Did he actually do it?
No, it was a little bit of a joke, but it was only half a joke. We talked about it.
Yeah, and every user experiences are different. So a delay for me of 3 seconds may really totally irk someone else. So again, it's all about the experience of each and every individual user. Are there key parameters for QOE? And, you know, I think this is really important, Dennis, because I think that there are a lot of people that believe that there is a checklist. So is that true? Is there a checklist, and what are some key parameters?
Yep. Well, there is a good checklist, or there are multiple good checklists, Kara, and they're good places to start. What I always end up doing, though, when I go through the checklist is saying, don't forget about dialogue, don't forget about the fact that your customers, whoever they are, internal, external, partners, et cetera, or some mix, are unique, their needs change, their needs may be changing very dynamically, and especially since the services you're providing may be actually changing your business model, not just the IT model, but the business you support, their model, there's a lot of dynamism here. But a quick checklist would include, in my view, availability, which is always standard, probably the most traditional benchmark, and that sometimes gets mixed in with mean time to repair, mean time between failure. No harm in looking at those metrics. A more significant metric is response time. Most customers care more about degraded response time than they do very intermittent failure. And they also have a lot more confidence that an actual downtime moment will be corrected versus degraded response, which there's a lot less confidence about. And that gets into the experience word. They feel badly because they don't think anybody else knows about their degrading experience.
It's so interesting, Dennis, and you actually did cover this for us in the e-guide associated with this this workshop lesson that were on application benchmarking. I thought that was critical, very, very critical, what you just, that experience component. So.
Yeah, no, it is important. And if you keep that in mind, it's a little bit like walking on your hands if you're traditionally looking at very technical benchmarks only.
Right.
Will help you. And just some, Kara, there's some other things you might look at. Your clients might care more about mobility than they do actual response time on some applications.
Yep.
They may care more about security of information. They may care about cost and appropriateness. They may care about choice. And there's a whole set of technologies to help end users self-provision some of their services more. All these can affect experience and value. And different kinds of services will play differently to that matrix.
Exactly. So that QoE parameter could be different, of course, when you factor in how the user experiences that is key. And again, it's different for every user.
Right. But on the other hand, if you're using your handheld device to perform significant business transactions with lots of money, you're going to want that security parameter be more important to you than the response time.
Right, and so maybe you need to set the customer, you know, who's your customer, internal or whatever, up for that. This is what you will expect, and you're going to have to log in every time, and so on and so forth. So I think taking into account the end user's experience is critical, but they also need going into it knowing what to expect and what is normal under a certain set of parameters, for example. So. Anything else to add there, Dennis, before we go on?
I think just to continue to stress that being open-minded and willing to listen and make changes based on changing requirements is key.
Right. I would agree with you there. Okay, so what kinds of technical approaches are best applied to answering those QoE categories you mentioned?
But let's just go through a few.
Okay.
Just pretty familiar terms, I think, for many.
Mm-hmm.
Network latency is a standard approach for many in network management. Latency does provide you with real data. However, latency depends on latency between which two points. And, of course, for experience, the ultimate point that you really only care about in the end for measuring QoE is what the user experiences at their end station, whether it's a workstation or desktop or a mobile device of some kind. And so a lot of the network latency data ends up being better for diagnostics than it does for true QoE. There are synthetic transactions and observed transactions that, again, may go through all the way to the end station, and there are also, and we'll talk about this a little later, ways of instrumenting end stations so that they can receive or reflect the actual experience of the end user. Some of these require agents, and some of them do not. Some of them are agentless, actually. So synthetic transactions are those that are proactively created at time intervals. There's more control with them. You can measure them over a period of time more consistently. On the other hand, they may not catch quite a bit of relevant information, and often do miss a lot of relevant information when it comes to pervasive requirements to understand QoE. So they should be balanced with a good strategy for capturing the observed transactional experience. And I would say this language, not restricted to web-based applications, but I'm focusing perhaps this discussion a little along the lines of web applications simply because they're so pervasive and becoming more pervasive, whether it's web, web 2, and eventually, so our service-oriented architectures will become a factor. Voice over IP has unique metrics, of course, jitter being a critical issue. And there's a lot of history around mean opinion scores, which, by the way, originally were a lot like that end-user happiness button. They were actually opinions
mm-hmm.
of the end-user sitting at the end station. The only other technology I'd like to try to mention is as you're looking through the network at the end user, either purely from the network group or network in conjunction with other people, there are an increasing number of solutions that are giving you transactional replay that can look at not only the time delays, but the actual series of transactions that the end user goes through, and that can capture areas such as problems with application design, even things in pre-deployment potentially, and there are technologies to look at that over the network. And some of these go so far as to support actual, you know, app developers and even web developers to make that experience more effective.
Right. So there's a lot to think about and consider.
A lot to think about.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you feel the market is addressing these requirements? Is the industry stepping up to the plate to do what it needs to support real QoE?
Well, certainly the industry is moving aggressively there. There's a lot of money to be made for vendors who are smart enough to realize that this is where, in some respects, the rubber hits the road. By the way, I think one quick thing to say from an industry perspective, we're seeing a growing awareness that the ultimate process here, the right process, is monitor the QoE, and then based on problems that you hopefully will proactively capture regarding a critical service impact to your clients, then you kick in your diagnostic tools to isolate the problem. So diagnostics is a related but separate discussion, although a lot of the QoE solutions in the industry do cross-domain analysis to help you find, for instance, is it likely to be the network or the application or the server or the database, et cetera. The industry is a real sort of molten pot of in transition here, you know, something between iron ore and, I don't know, some new metal. You're looking at a lot of innovation in certain sectors. You know, we had Armon in the past. We're now looking at a whole new array of flow-based analysis to understand volumes and impact and usage and consumption patterns. We're looking at a lot more granularity in how transactions are being monitored. And some of these are through services as well as through products that you buy. And in some cases, you'll get a mix. But if people are interested in follow-on dialogue, I think in some of the text they'll see more names associated here. So there are large vendors, innovators. Some of the innovators are extremely quick in deployment, feature fast time to deploy. There are services available. And some of these vendors in the industry are collectively addressing teams of people beyond the network. How do we reach the application developer to work with the engineer? How do we support a triage across a system, an app, a network, and a database? And some of these vendors are beginning to develop discrete reporting to support those groups. I think it's a very interesting time.
I agree. And obviously it means team coordination inside the IT organization as well, which is quite interesting. So. Okay, I think you hinted already that in reality there is a lot more to QoE than just technology issues. So what are some of the other factors that an IT organization needs to be aware of to get the job done? And maybe we could just quickly talk about how they can best approach these other types of issues.
Sure. So, well, Kara, there's something that I'm calling the Archie Bunker syndrome, and the thing to avoid is the Archie Bunker syndrome, but it's pretty pervasive. And the Archie Bunker syndrome, if you remember All in the Family, Archie Bunker, he was the kind of guy who really never wanted to see anything move much beyond the 50s. Charming in his way.
Right.
And we see a lot of that in the knock. And the Archie Bunker syndrome is, it's my data. I don't want anyone else to look at it. They wouldn't know what to do with it anyway. We're managing the network. You stay away, folks, in the data center. You stay away, folks, with best practices and processes. I've got my group to manage. Thank you very much. And while that's still probably very predominant, especially actually in larger companies, it will eventually become something of a thing of the past. And, of course, the skill sets will never go away. We still need the expertise. But we need a much more fluid way of looking at information and sharing information and promoting dialogue. And that Archie Bunker mindset really needs to go into, I guess I don't have another term, but a more shared environment, a more proactively shared environment, because QoE, I think it should become clear here, is not the province of any one domain, even the application manager. QoE can really only be understood collectively with an outwardly facing approach to the customer. And that's probably the single most important statement to make here. There's a lot associated with that, technologies for sharing information, communication skills as something to actually look for and hire and recruit, and we're seeing that. And simply old organizational models that just have to evolve into a more effective new model.
That's all the time we have today, but I know that there's so much more to cover. So I absolutely recommend that our listeners go to searchnetworking.com, go to the bottom of our homepage to the site index. You'll see our advanced network workshops. In that tab, you will find a wonderful ebook that Dennis just wrote for this workshop lesson. It covers this in detail. So if you're interested in learning more, please go find that. Dennis, closing statement?
Just that it's been a pleasure, Kara.
Thanks to our listeners for joining us today. This podcast is brought to you by Fluke Networks. For more information on application benchmarking, visit searchnetworking.com.